that's right. It is a continuation of the I Love Ann show, and I certainly am appreciative of the fact that we have Congressman Joe Wilson on the line with us here this morning. You know, he's on the House Armed Forces and the Foreign Affairs committees up there in Washington, D.C., and we are delighted to have him here. How you doing today, Congressman Joe Wilson?
Well, Ann, it's an honor to be with you, and again, I'm just very grateful to be serving in Congress. I appreciate you referencing that I serve on the Armed Services Committee. I'm very, very grateful. I have four sons also serving in the military, and one of my sons has served from your neighborhood, and that is that my son Hunter Wilson served with the Edgefield Unit, the 122nd Engineers, in Afghanistan last year.
Wow.
And so I'm very, very grateful for our family service to promote and protect American families.
Absolutely. I think, you know, we all are. And that's one of the first things I wanted to talk about. You know, the service people that are going over there to Africa to deal with the Ebola, are they getting hazardous duty pay?
I'm so concerned, and I don't think it's even appropriate that we would be sending our military to do that. I believe that that should be by health workers, and I believe that the president has put our military at risk, and we can already see that the failure to secure our border by the president is putting the American people at risk at home and abroad.
Yeah, absolutely. But will the service people get hazardous duty pay for going into that environment?
And I don't know what status they will have. To me, it would be hazardous and dangerous duty. And as we see, the president has just failed to truly protect the American people, and with the discovery again of another person who is suffering from Ebola in our country, and the failure to secure our border, I'm very, very concerned for the American people.
Well, I know, and you know, I think that really goes into my next question. Since the CDC hasn't even got their arms around how Ebola, how can we be sending people with no effective policy in place? You know, I think it's great to go help, but we're not even taking care of our own right here.
And it's really tragic. I've been to Liberia. There's actually a direct connection of the people of South Carolina with that country. It was established by freed slaves from South Carolina. And so we have a cultural and long-term connection with that country, but they have a failed healthcare system. Sadly, they had a dictatorship which virtually destroyed the country. The good news is that the country is back on track, but still the healthcare system is not effective.
Yeah, it is just frightening, and to see another healthcare worker. And, you know, Peggy and I, my partner on the radio show, we were talking this morning, how many people did that Mr. Duncan that died from Ebola come in contact with just in the emergency room? And how could they even have covered all those people because they were in and out?
And he was there twice.
Yes.
And so, there's so many unanswered questions, but also equally, it's just so irresponsible. There should have been a travel ban on persons coming from the countries affected.
I agree. I certainly agree. But let's move on and talk about, you know, President Obama has wanted to and has put in place to reduce the size of our military. And just the other night on the BBC, they were saying that ISIS in the last 6 weeks has expanded by 12,000 fighters. They've added 12,000 more fighters. How can we deal with this, Joe?
Well, the president needs to reverse policy. Our country is at risk. In the newspaper today, and there was an indication that jihadists had seized control of parts of Yemen. We already know that in last year, I pointed out, as the president was saying that al-Qaeda was on the run, what he said was not correct. And on the House floor in June 2013, I had a map showing the spread of al-Qaeda across North Africa, including Boko Haram in Central Africa, the spread of al-Qaeda affiliates throughout the Middle East and into Central Asia. The president, hey, we know what he's doing. He's on his way to campaign fundraisers today in New Jersey, campaign fundraisers tonight in Connecticut. His focus is not on, I believe, protecting the American people. He has become obsessed with political campaigning and I believe, put the American people at risk.
Well, I think you're right. And you sent me a copy of that map. And it is very, very scary when you sit here and look at this map and see. And, you know, President Obama actually had said that, no, he didn't know about all this. And as you said in your little note that you sent to me, you presented that on the floor with large storyboards. There would be no way he couldn't know about it.
It's just tragic because people, we see with the fall of the country, the entire country of Libya, that was not on the map. And now it is, and so I'm really grateful that I could provide that to you. And I'm not doing this in a I told you so fashion. I'm really hopeful that the president will recognize that the American people are at risk, and we see this tragically with the open borders that we have. Children, 4 years old, crossing the borders. How could that be? And if a four-year-old can cross the border, think of who else is crossing the border.
Exactly. Excuse me. You know, my husband Jeff went to West Point, and 50 years ago when he was at West Point, when they were doing all their battle plans and, you know, setting up things, he said they were worried, and you brought this up, that Yemen would fall, and then they would have both sides of the Red Sea would be pinched off, and there'd be no access. And here you just bring up Yemen right there.
And fortunately, and I appreciate your husband's service, we've got a military that is the best on earth, but the president is, through defense sequestration, is hollowing out our military. And of all things, and I'm very grateful that former Defense Secretary Leon Panetta has warned that correctly, that the president's policies is putting the American people at risk.
You know, Joe, you know, we keep talking about the president, though, but what can Congress do? What can the Senate do? You know, I don't even think we have actually declared war, have we?
No. And what happened was that I do support that we would have a vote on use of force. We need to have that. We need to show the resolve that we will resist the jihadist aggression around the world, and we should not have to wait for another 9/11 attack on the United States.
Sure. Now, how do you feel? I remember, let's see, the thing that kind of upset me, I'll just tell you, back when they all passed the continuing CR and also put in the money to be able to do the airstrikes. That was kind of bothersome to me that all got wrapped up, and yet the only thing we actually talked about in the news and everything was the money that was being put out there to start the bombing attacks.
And that was a step, and we can all be hopeful that air power and not a necessity of troops, but the bottom line is that the president should be working more closely with our allies. A country which has a remarkably positive military is Turkey itself, and a member of NATO. So we have boots already there of a very skilled military. The president has alienated one of our best allies, and that is Egypt, by his supporting the Muslim Brotherhood. Unfortunately, the people of Egypt rebelled and threw them out. And then additionally, of course, I believe the president has let down Israel by not coming to the immediate defense of Israel for defending itself from Hamas rocket attacks. The president has weakened our ability to protect its, American citizens, and we see that with beheadings in our lifetime. Can you, a beheading within the United States, now called workplace violence.
Yeah, no, I can't believe that. But going back to Turkey, it seems to me that what I'm seeing in the news, that Turkey appears to be more interested in destroying the Kurds than ISIS.
And that's not, you're correct, and that's just not, we should be working with the Kurdish forces to reinforce the fact, and I've met with them, they really are respectful of the border with Turkey, and they fully understand that it would be catastrophic for them to be in a conflict between the Kurdish region of Iraq and Turkey or the Kurdish region of Iran. It's actually in their interest to have a strong Kurdish region of Iraq, but not to infringe into the territory of Turkey.
Yeah, I just don't understand. It doesn't seem to me that we really have any real coalition going on this issue.
You're so sadly correct. And the president who was so critical of President Bush, who did have a coalition, very engaged and involved partners, the United Kingdom, Australia, Germany.
Mm-hmm.
President Obama dismissed this as not of consequence. Well, he was wrong. Because now we have such a situation that we don't have a coalition. And one of the reasons we don't is because the people do not take President Obama seriously as truly concerned about the threats to civilization that we face. These people carry signs very clearly saying death to America, death to Israel. That's what they mean.
I know, Joe, and, you know, I think one of the things that is particularly bothersome is that President Obama would say it would be okay for anybody else to put their boots on the ground, but we will not.
And this is a reflection of the failure of not having a status of forces agreement with Iraq. And the president's always blaming other people. No, it's his responsibility to have secured a status of forces agreement, and that would have helped provide for the security of Iraq, which is the security of the United States and the American people. And so over and over again, and I say this very sadly, not that there needs to be a change of policy. The president needs to get off the campaign trail, he should be truly addressing the concerns that we have, the legitimate health care concern of Ebola, the legitimate concerns about jobs that are being lost in our country over and over again, and the failure on his part not to have an energy policy, not to promote the Keystone Pipeline, which would be jobs in South Carolina.
You know, you're right, Joe. And I just feel that, I think it's great that we say he's got to change, but is he going to change is the question. And if he continues down this road that he's, this path that he's on, what does that do? Where will our country be, and what can be done about it, more important?
Well, I have faith in the American people, and I'm very grateful that I have the privilege of serving with good people like Congressman Jeff Duncan, and hey, we've got leaders with Trey Gowdy from the upstate also, and then I've over the years worked with Senator Lindsey Graham and the National Guard. He and I have worked together for many years in the Guard, and hey, South Carolina has great leadership in Congress with Tim Scott in U.S. Senate, and then I'm very pleased, and so over and over again, I see that we've got good people. And I'm just so hopeful for our country.
I know, but even if the Republicans take the Senate, which there's a good chance that will happen, will there be able to be any real change?
Yes, there will. I was honored to be last week with Senator Saxby Chambliss of Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
I had the privilege of being with Rick Allen, who's running for Congress across the river. And Senator Chambliss was very, very positive about David Perdue and the potential of a strong Republican majority in the Senate. And the first thing that would happen, Ann, is that there would be a level of responsibility with the appointments that are being made by the president. We already know how irresponsible it was that the Attorney General of South Carolina, of the United States, Eric Holder, what an extremist he was.
Right.
He was dismissive of protecting the American people and and actually blaming other people for a level of crime which instead of the people who are committing the crimes. So over and over again, I believe if there was a Republican majority in the U.S. Senate, this would cause the president to change policy, to be more responsible, to create an environment, I believe, of better security, but also, again, change what I see as a real problem of people having full-time employment. We need to change Obamacare and repeal it. And over again, I run into where people are losing their hours. Mm-hmm. As I go around the district, people tell me they are losing hours because of Obamacare. People are finding out that the premiums are much higher.
The second year, definitely the premiums are going up.
And over again, this is where government should be stepping back. I worked with Congressman Tom Price from Georgia for health care reforms, which would be able to buy insurance across state lines, association health plans. And so we've got alternatives to repeal and replace Obamacare.
I know you do, but the question is, the longer it stays, the harder it will be to undo it, Joe.
And usually that's the case, Ann, except that this is proving to be such a fiasco. Beginning a year ago, the spectacle of the sign-ups, and now they're having the spectacle of the re-sign-up.
Yes.
Over and over again, and I was very encouraged that despite millions and tens of millions of dollars of propaganda being spent to try to cover up what the problems are, the American people know better, and they want it repealed.
Well, you know, I think that would be a good thing if we could get it repealed, of course. Then, you know, what about the insurance companies? Would you put another policy in place, or would you put it back in the hands of the insurance companies and maybe go with across state lines? What would be the, quote, safety net for those?
The safety net, and you're dead right, it would be buying insurance across state lines, association health plans. You would have a safety net for individuals who maybe they would choose not to buy insurance. That should be their choice, too.
Yes. But what would be it would be replaced with. Now, you know, I'm sure you've been following what's been going on with 13 Hours and the Benghazi, the three guys that have come forth and written that book, and then Panetta coming out and saying some of the things that he's saying. I find it absolutely unbelievable that our president is still saying, you know, or the White House, maybe we should say the White House and everything, are still saying, hey, you know, that's not the way it was.
Well, Ann, it's so sad because you and I and the vast majority of the American people and the people who are listening to your program, we knew within about 5 seconds when the Benghazi attack occurred, which was on the anniversary of 9/11.
Right.
I knew within 5 seconds this was a celebration of the mass murder of American citizens on 9/11. It was not a protest. It was a terrorist attack. And I'm really so pleased that we have these security officials who have now come forward and told the truth. But we knew the truth. And they fabricated about a videographer making a film. And then the utter depravity, to me, of our Secretary of State going to where the bodies were being returned at Dover and announcing that the videographer was going to be arrested when, in fact, they'd seen the videos, and the videos of the attack on the consulate clearly indicated this was not a protest. There were no protest signs. As one of the guards indicated, people don't bring rocket-propelled grenades to a protest.
Yeah, you know, I had the opportunity to interview one of those three guys.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, and one of the questions I asked him, why were you there? Why were they in Benghazi in that area? And he said it was to recover the shoulder missiles.
Yes.
And that type of thing. That's why they were there. So
yes.
You don't know that there's a problem when you have independent contractors there trying to retrieve this?
And it's so sad to me, and then to see that Susan Rice has been promoted to be the National Security Advisor. This is a person who, I just say sadly, I mean, just couldn't tell the truth at any time. And
perpetuates it today.
And perpetuates it today, plus putting the American people at risk. And over and over again, she has revealed her inability to understand the difference between good and evil.
Yeah, well, I think she's fed a line, and she's so enamored or whatever that she just goes out there and says what they want her to say.
You're so sadly correct, Anne.
I just got a couple more questions for you, Joe, and I'll let you go. The Baghdad airport looks like they are going to get there. What do you think?
Well, this is all the more reason that we should be working in every way to push back ISIS, and if they seize the airport, and I've been there many times. In fact, one of my sons was a Navy doctor serving there at Baghdad International. This is an indication of the instability created by this president, the failure of President Obama, and he needs to provide for a basic security agreement, to provide for a status of forces agreement, it's absolutely crucial that we not allow jihadists to seize this country.
Well, we don't seem to be doing a lot to keep them out, Joe.
It seems so disorganized. And again, the focus of the president are political fundraisers in New Jersey and Connecticut today.
Oh, he was out with Gwyneth Paltrow last week, wasn't he?
Right, in California. And he is, everything is political fundraising.
Yeah, that's true. You know, we have had a couple of calls come in here this morning. I just want to tell you, Bob Margarita, an English visitor, former SAS, he says, what a great interview. Why aren't we doing this on NBC?
Well, hey, I'm just proud of Ann Ehlers. And, hey, and I'm just grateful, again, to be serving in Congress. I served myself 31 years in the Army National Guard. I'm really grateful. All credit to my wife, Roxanne. We have four sons serving in the military of the United States today.
I know it.
And I'm just so proud of our military.
I know. And I think we should try to do more, which brings me to my last question for you. How are we doing on this veterans issue, on the medical, et cetera?
Well, this has been actually a positive, and that is that working with Congressman Jeff Miller, who is chairman of the Veterans Affairs Committee, and leadership, actually, too, from Senator Lindsey Graham. We were able to provide for an ability of cutting through the waiting list for our veterans. If they are on a waiting list, they now have an option of going to another health care facility. This is a revolutionary step, really, because we know at the Dorn VA Hospital in Columbia, at the Charlie Norwood Hospital in Augusta, we have had delays which have actually resulted in people losing their lives, and this delay should not occur. And I'm very, very grateful that we have a change in the law in the last 6 weeks, which will provide for health care for our veterans.
Now, Joe, do you think we should be expanding the facilities, or should we turn this more over to the private sector to deal with our veterans?
I believe that we should have the backup. It's like a safety net for everything else. We should have a safety net for our veterans, where we have got terrific people and very dedicated. In fact, the reason that we found out about the flaws in the healthcare system in the VA is due to the professionals who work at the VA. They were the people who raised the issues of lack of service.
Right. But do you think we should expand more facilities, or should we work with the facilities we have and put the overflow going into private practice?
It would be an overflow, and maintain the systems, the services that we have, enhance them, but at the same time, give an option, because, hey, there's going to be an ebb and flow in terms of services needed. And so instead of having an underutilized system, we've got excellent health care facilities. I can think of self-hospital that people should have an option to go to.
Sure, exactly. Well, listen, I got one more compliment to give you. Dave Moore said that we need to take this show on the road. Great info, you and Joe. Me and you.
Well, hey, Ann Ellis is a superstar, so, hey, best wishes.
Thank you so much, Congressman Joe Wilson. We'll look forward to having you on again real soon.
Very honored. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.